feet, man. This.
It's City Desk. News and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Good morning. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We're recording this program on Thursday, January 9th at 10:46 in the morning here at Biloxi City Hall. Are you ready for the new year?
Yes, I am. Any more news about the trains?
I'll tell you what, there is some news about the trains. The mayor's going to talk about it in his State of the City address, which is coming up at the end of this month. And right now, there's some people are waiting on Mobile to make for their city council to make the commitment to make the improvements that are needed on their platform over there. But Mayor Gilich has been watching that, and I think he's ready to take action on showing a commitment here in Biloxi. Now, to what extent and what he sees in the future, he's going to talk about that in the State of the City address. I don't want to get ahead of the mayor. But we do have some events going on Saturday in North Bay, which is going to be something really important that people really need to come out and see. It's involving the Biloxi Fire Department. So here to talk about some issues in the fire department, what's happening in the fire department, what kind of year we saw, what we're going to see in the future year. We have the chief of the Biloxi Fire Department, Joe Boney, and joining him is the deputy chief for operations, Andy Mason. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I got like three questions for you. My first one involves Jack the fire dog. What's up with him? What has he been doing? And can he do any tricks?
Jack has been a busy boy. Yesterday, me and Jack spent most of the day together. We went and did a news show on WXXV. We went and did a news show on WLOX. And he had a great time. He enjoyed it. As far as tricks, he is learning stop, drop, and roll, and you will be very happy to see him do it in the very near future. He's everybody loves Jack. I don't know. I went in. I just left our dispatch center, and that was the first thing when I walked in the door. Not hi, Chief. How you doing? Where's Jack? So we get that pretty regular.
Okay, Chief Mason. He spends a lot of time with the dog, but what do you see happening here with this dog?
Well, I see it's a great public relations type deal for us. You know, when we have the kids camp in June, a couple of weeks there, you know, one for beginners and one for people that's been through it before, young children, for them to see the dog. A Dalmatian's associated with the fire department anyway. It has been historically, so I think it'd be really good for us.
Have you met the dog and taken him around? And by the way, where is the dog right now?
Well, the chief keeps him in a hidden spot.
Good answer, Chief.
I see why he's the chief of operations. Chief Boney, we've got an event coming up this weekend. I say an event. I really think it's going to be one for the area north of the bay and for the Biloxi Fire Department and for the city. Tell me what I'm talking about.
Well, it'll be our ribbon cutting for Station 7, our brand-new Station 7. You know, you say it's an event. It's a big event for the people north of the bay. But what people don't realize, and I'll touch on this a little bit more when we do the ribbon cutting, is what it means to the fire department and how it changes the whole dynamics of what we do and how we do it. From north of the bay to south of the bay, we are changing what we do and how we do it. That's how important this station is.
So it's going to be a lot more firefighters in this station, a lot more vehicles. Now, I know we're talking about a station that's been, 20 years in the making, and the men have been in the trailer over there. So how's it going to change your dynamic?
Well, it'll first off, and I've been saying this for a while, it'll allow us to bring these assets to a position to be able to respond a lot more efficiently and quicker to the area. But we are moving our training facility up there, and that, you know, we'll be moving our field training officers up there. We're moving our heavy rescue up there, and eventually we're going to be moving our hazardous materials truck up there and our swift water equipment up there. Because it'll allow us to be able to respond in a better, you know, we don't have many swift water issues down here on the peninsula, but we do up around the river and stuff, and so that'll allow us to be able to put this equipment up there.
And why you're saying all of this is because of the exact location of that station. Give people an idea of where it is and what they see when they drive by this location.
Yeah, they're gonna, and I'll say Saturday, you know, I'll give you a little preview. You know, this, for 20 years, Engine 7 has been up in this area, but they've been excluded from the public. They're in an obscure area where the public don't have access to them. Now the public will be able to see them out there working, training, doing everything a normal fire station does, and that makes a big difference for the community to be able to see that and participate in that.
It's a community landmark is what it is. It's a staple of the community. Chief Mason, this training center, this is going to be the first time we've ever had a tower like this. How important is that?
Man, it's absolutely very, very important to us. What it allows us to do is we're going to be able to not only teach our people, but we can assist other departments all over the coast. All these mutual aid stuff that we have, they can actually come in and take classes with us, train with us, hands-on. There's nothing like knowing that person when you call them in a state of emergency, and we're working either in their city or our city to help the citizens out.
Those are things people don't think about, you know, about those interlocal agreements that you have. Okay, we've never really said the location of the station. It is at the corner of Cedar Pops, you know, right there at Cedar Lake Road, Pops Ferry, about a half a block over to the east. You can see it right under the big City of Biloxi Water Tower, essentially. It's where our communication center is. And, man, you're just going to really light up that area there with the fire station. Right across the street, you've got the big assisted living center coming up, a $25 million investment. It's going to be a great day, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, you know, this means so much for the community and for the department, and for the public to be able to see what we'll be able to do out there is going to be very impressive. Yes, the address is 1672 Pops Ferry Road.
Give people a time and an idea of what's going to be happening on Saturday.
Okay, and so Saturday we're going to be doing the dedication and the ribbon cutting. We will be dedicating the station. We'll be having a ribbon cutting, but we're also going to have a dedication of the training tower. We're going to include what we normally wouldn't do in public, but since we have this opportunity, we're going to be promoting a captain. We have a captain's promotion, and we do a pinning ceremony, and we're going to include this in where we bring the family in and allow them to pin the captain.
In addition to that milestone, you're paying some tribute to some of the firefighters of the past.
Absolutely, and that's what I say. We have the building will be dedicated to the first fire chief in Biloxi, Phil McCabe, and his family, descendants of him, will be on hand to say a few words about it, as well as our training tower. Darren Endress was one of our longtime firefighters who lost his battle to cancer last year, and it was occupational cancer. And one of the first cases, or the first case, that Biloxi has documented as an occupational cancer. And that training tower will be dedicated to him.
In your annual report, you made a pretty big deal about some of the things that y'all are doing regarding carcinogens.
Absolutely. And this station is designed all around that. And if the public comes out and sees it Saturday, they'll be able to see. The living quarters are completely separated from the engine bay. For the first time, we'll have positive pressure in the engine bay at all times to allow the CO and the carcinogens to be evacuated from the structure, where it will not get into the living area, as well as the some of the rooms. You know, we have special equipment to wash and dry these our turnout gear when we go to fires to keep them carcinogens away from us. We have a room with our turnout gear in it to protect it from the engine exhaust, like we used to just hang them on the walls in the old stations, and they would just constantly consume that engine exhaust. We have special rooms designed for the turnout gear to protect it from that as well as many other things.
To the bigger picture of the city, and you've talked about this in the past, new station, better rating?
Absolutely. You know, this is all part of the puzzle, and the mayor made it clear to me that he wanted to see if we could get our rating down further from a 3, at least to a 2, but possibly to a 1. And this is just another piece of that puzzle, along with a lot of other things. Station 10 that we just opened a couple of months ago, new personnel that we're hiring, all the infrastructure work that's going on. Right, right. The water, people don't realize all that is tied together. The water pressure, the hydrants, the streets, everything ties together.
As well as the training, as well as the equipment. It's one big thing. And by the way, it's driven, as I understand it, by the insurance industry. That's who sets a lot of the standards that we use not only in our building codes, but also in the fire inspections. In fact, don't you fall under the Mississippi Department of Insurance?
We do. The Mississippi Department of Insurance manages the Mississippi Fire Rating Bureau, and they also manage the fire marshal's office, who dictates to us how we inspect fires, how we report fires, and all these things. It's all tied to the state rating bureau.
Which also means when you go to build anything on your house, fill in, do anything at your business, please call the Biloxi Community Development Department to see about a permit. That will ensure that the work is done the way it was supposed to be done. Chief Mason, how's these two new stations going to impact your life, your job?
Well, man, it really helps us out because it gives us diversification out in the North District there. We're going to be able to put three engines, two tankers, on the scene of anything in a very low amount of time. Where we used to have a 10 or 11 minute response, we're going to be looking at 4 and 5 minute responses. Plus, we're adding four personnel to each and every call that much quicker. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you brought up a good subject, and I wanted to mention it. Response time. We just had a house fire in Biloxi. I think it was on Front Beach, maybe a block off or so. Well, anyway, the homeowner apparently thought that, gee, it must have taken 10 minutes for the fire department to get here and put water on this house. Have y'all seen cases where people just, you'll get there in like a half a second and they'll wonder what took you so long?
Yes, sir. And especially here down in the south, but man, mostly in the north too. We're 3 to 5 minutes with at least one rig getting there. On the fire that was on Travi Avenue the other day, we were a 4 minute response. You know, I heard the news story also from WLOX to where we were 10 minutes getting water on the fire. That just simply wasn't accurate.
Now, one thing that I, from not being there on the scene, one of the things that I didn't appreciate was whenever these firefighters arrived there, this house was fully engulfed. You had, what, two vehicles on fire, and the house next to it was being threatened.
Yes. Well, you actually, your exposure house was burning. It was on fire when we were going. The first house, the house of origin there, it was fully involved to the point to where our officer, when he sized it up, said, hey, we got approximately a 1,600 square foot wood frame structure. I got fire coming from every orifice. The roof is completely involved. I'm calling for a defensive attack. However, the house to the north is involved on the south end of the house.
So two house fires.
Absolutely. And so he said, we're going to start protecting the exposure now, because the thought is we're going to prevent further damage.
Right, right.
Because this one house is gone. All we're doing is extinguishment.
It must have been, because I saw originally there was a call for a smell of smoke in that area, but that thing must have really been burning before y'all got there.
Yeah, was it a long time? They must have waited before they called y'all.
You know, the investigation is ongoing,
right.
And so we really can't comment on that here. But it will come out on that delay of when we actually got the 911 call. From the 911 call where dispatch told our guys, we were 4 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that. That was, and Chief, you're comfortable with a response time of 4 minutes?
You know, at that time of the morning, absolutely, because you gotta think the guys are in bed asleep. They wake up, they get dressed, they got to go get on the truck. It was 5:08 in the morning. So it takes a minute longer to get out of the station. Normally it would have been a 3 minute response time. You can't ask for a better response time than that.
And by the way, we're talking about a house fire, but one of the, three quarters of your calls, two thirds are medical emergencies. And you've told me in the past what can happen, not only with a fire, but how it can become more complicated for a medical emergency.
Absolutely. You know, seconds count. Anytime we can intervene on a medical emergency, the sooner you do, the better the outcome for the patient. So we strive very, very hard to get to the scene as fast as possible. Anytime your home is burning up, it seems like it takes forever for us to get there. but I can assure you, we treat everyone the same. We are very proud of our response times. We're very transparent with our response times. You know, we want people to see what we do and how we do it. In this instance, and I hate to be this way, but this house, that first supervisor got on scene and saw that this house was lost, was mm-hmm. a loss. He focused his attention to saving the property that was not lost. And so it's
which was on fire the second half.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, you have to make them tough decisions. It's just like, you know, going to an automobile accident and you have two or three victims and you have to triage and decide which victims, you know, have the best opportunity to live, and that's the ones you need to treat. And it's a hard decision for anyone, but it's a decision that has to be made.
Well, I know that it's a place of pride, the Biloxi Fire Department, and the appreciation that y'all have for the history of that department and how these new fire stations are really following in the path of the old fire stations. Do you remember those days whenever they were the community centers of each of the neighborhoods, and they would usually be, what, a card game there?
Absolutely, especially on the weekends. You know, as a young firefighter, I love working at Back Bay Fire Station, which is Station 3. That was where I grew up as a child. And so I had a special draw to that station. But it was such a nice, homely feeling. You know, you were part of the community. And that's what we want the people to understand, that we still are there. We're still in the community. Please stop by. Say hey. You know, ask for directions. Anything you need. You need a smoke detector or anything. Just call. Stop by. We're there. We're part of your community.
Chief Mason, which station did you serve in for the most part?
For the most part, I was at Station 1 at 170 Porter or Station 5, 2499 Pass.
Did you see a lot of civilians come in, like particularly out at the one at Bay Vista, I think, is 5. Did you see people come in to say hello?
Yeah, we had some people in the community that would come by and stay. We had, in fact, we would get little games going on outside of the station, and, man, we had neighborhood kids and all coming up, man.
Now, what kind of games are we talking about here? Games of chance or what?
Well, no, I'm sorry. We, you know, whether it be horseshoes or cornhole or basketball or whatever it was, you know, we had kids coming up, and then that made it interactive for us, and it gave us information that would help us in cause of you pull up into those apartment complexes right behind 5. They might say, "Hey, my mom was in the house," and I'd give you a little inside information.
Yeah,
it was all good stuff, all relevant.
All just being part of the community. Okay, Chief, one last time, because we've been running for about an hour here now. We didn't even talk about your past year. Tell people one more time what time they should bring the family out to Cedar Pops.
Okay, we're gonna be doing the ribbon cutting. It'll be starting at 10 o'clock. Get there a little bit before. Stay late. You know, we're gonna have hamburgers, hot dogs, drinks, cake, tours. We'll be able to tour the station. Jack will be there. A lot of people are saying, "Well, what about when it rains?" If you haven't seen this station, you can't understand. But when you get there, you will see. We can put half a Biloxi in that pumper hall. It is huge, so we are not concerned about the weather.
It makes a statement. It makes a statement, and it's going to be a proud day for North Bay and the entire city. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming here on such short notice. And by the way, your response time to get here was terrible. Thank you, William.
You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.